first and foremost, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Mike. They've had a couple. I've had two what I call white whale interviews that I've been looking forward to since I joined as the voice of the Raiders here, and you're one of those two. So thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate this a lot.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. I'm glad we could do this.
Absolutely. So let's start from the beginning here, because from what I read, you were invited to join the Raiders originally by Rick Wilson, just 16 years old. Rick coached all 3 years. You were here for Prince Albert as the head coach. So what was it like first time around coming from Michigan to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan? What did you know about the place, and what kind of mindset were you coming to Saskatchewan with?
Well, I think the good thing about that whole experience was I didn't know any better. You know, I was still young. I hadn't really traveled the world much at that point, obviously. So I didn't really know anything about, you know, even Canada, to say the least. You know, I knew Toronto because we get Hockey Night in Canada and Detroit. So I knew the Maple Leafs, the Canadians, and we spent a lot of time in Windsor and crossing over to some of the tournaments there. But I had nothing from probably Lake Superior West. I had no idea what was going on up there in Canada and anything. So I think that was kind of a good thing, being so naive and just open-minded to whatever happened. You know, I just didn't know. And so I got there, and it was, you know, obviously a small little town, but, you know, like I said, I haven't experienced much at that point. So I was like, you know, I didn't know, this kind of a blank slate, and went in there and walked into Rick's office, and, you know, he just kind of stared me up and down. And I think he thought in the back of his mind that I was going to be plinted down out there on the ice very quickly and probably want to go back home very fast. But, you know, we had a couple, you know, open skates and stuff leading up the training camp, and that all went well and everything else. So then, you know, got rolled into training camp, and Rick was great. You know, I couldn't ask for a better person to kind of help me navigate that whole deal. So I was pretty lucky, and there's some great guys there that helped along the way, players and obviously my billets and some other people in the city. So I right off the start, I was like, I fell in love.
Well, that's awesome. And it's kind of an interesting situation when you got to Prince Albert too, because the 3 seasons before you get to Prince Albert, the Raiders were still in the SJHL in Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. 2 years of not so great hockey as they kind of moved up to the WHL. And then the year right before you joined the Raiders is the year the Raiders end up winning the WHL championship in the Memorial Cup. So, you know, you mentioned you don't really know much about Prince Albert. You don't know much about what you're walking into, but when you got here, did you feel a lot of pressure coming from that successful season the year before?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there was a little bit. And they, you know, and also they lost a lot of players from that particular year. So everybody kind of moved on, and, you know, Devereaux and Manson and, you know, a few other guys, Baumgartner, guys that were really tough, but very cemented guys in that team and very quality role guys. So they lost a little bit there. And, you know, so I didn't sense too much, you know, pressure to kind of a repeat, but, you know, I think in the back of everybody's mind, they thought that should be able to kind of maybe make a decent run at it.
Just curious who your line mates would have been when you were here in Prince Albert as well, too. I looked down the roster and was trying to piece together who you would have been playing with here. Like, I see a couple guys like Jeff Nelson and Wade Buses were at the top of the scoring with you in your last year. I'm guessing you probably played with one of those guys at all?
Yeah, I played a lot with Wade Butchie that last year. My second year, God, I was all over the place. God, I think my first year I was a lot with Patty Olenek, so that helped a lot. He was a great goal scorer. He could shoot the puck great. We had a good little tandem going there with him, and Kevin Todd was another center. And you know, I'm trying to think of my second year there when everything was kind of going real well in that third year. But yeah, Butchie was kind of the main guy that third year. We had a really good year. He was a really sneaky kind of lanky guy and could score and create a lot. But yeah, we kind of hit a little lightning there for a bit, him and I.
Absolutely. And you mentioned as well some of the guys who moved on from the championship year the year before you played. And one of those guys happens to be head coach Terry Simpson, who kind of bookended your time in Prince Albert. From what I saw, I looked at and it looked like he coached the year before you joined and then took over the head coaching role again after you joined. So, you know, legendary coach here, has the street named after him right by the Art Hauser Center here. I'm curious, even though he wasn't your head coach at all, did you see any of his influence around the team at all? Or was he still kind of around the organization at all when you came to Prince Albert?
I don't recall seeing much of him around. I know his brother Wayne was really intricate. Scout for the Raiders. I had more dialogue, I think, with him leading up to me going to Prince Albert. I think he was the one that, you know, had mentioned me to Rick at the time after our Calgary Max midget tournament. We went up there with Little Caesars out of Detroit. I think we ended up winning that tournament and played really well. So I think there was a lot of Western Hockey League people there at those tournament games. So I think he was intricate, like I said, and getting me there and putting a little bug in Rick's ear.
Okay, I see. See, but what about Rick? I mean, he was assistant coach for Terry during his time with the Raiders here as well. And obviously, from what I read, he was kind of the first voice that reached out to you to bring you here. What was it like playing underneath him?
It was great. I you know, he was tough but fair. You know, he was just really one of those guys. You were scared to death of him. He was just a big man. You know, big. You know, strong guy. Just was a huge man, so you were scared to death of him a little bit. But he just had a great mind for the game, and you know, really saw the game well and coached it well. He was just a real solid guy. I mean, to this day we still talk quite often, and thank him all the time when I see him about giving me a chance there. But he was really. Really big influence on me and was my whole NHL career for that fact.
Absolutely. So I want to go on and talk to you a little bit about some of the playoff series that you played in with the Raiders here, because a couple actually cross over with what we're doing this year. We just got through a series with Saskatoon. You guys, as I understand it, you guys lost to Saskatoon in four games in 87 here, and that's kind of around the time where I think the Raiders and Blades rivalry started, because the year before was the first ever playoff matchup between the Raiders and the Blades. Raiders swept it in three games. Next year, like I said, your first year with the team, you meet up against the Blades in the second round, and a lot of big names on that Blades team. Wendell Clark's brother, Kerry, was on that team. Todd McClellan, Kelly Chase, Kevin Kaminsky, who I actually reached out to before this, but I didn't hear back from him. But, you know, you end up getting swept in that second round series. Did it feel at all like that was kind of the start to the rivalry? Because it's sure continued to burn to this day. I'm wondering, did it feel like it had something to it like that when you were playing?
Yeah, it was really the old Saskatoon building was quite the building. I mean, it was just an old rickety wooden barn, and the fans were like right behind Rick and our coach and our bench, so they were right on top of us. There's really no separation from the fans whatsoever behind us, so it was just a real tough, intimate, physical, just, you know, some of the players they had. Tony Twist, Kelly Chase, Kevin Kaminsky. I mean, it was just a brutal game against those guys all the time. And so it was rightfully so geographically, just an hour and a half down the road. I mean, it was one of those things that just has been a constant boil for all those years. And it was always a tough matchup. And it made for good watching, and fans loved it. It was just almost a bit of a battle royal when we played those guys.
Absolutely. And well, this year the Raiders beat, just swept the Blades here, and now we're moving on to take on Medicine Hat. And of course in 88, you guys met up against Medicine Hat in the second round, and looked like quite a series. You guys unfortunately end up losing 4-2, but look down that list. Of course, Trevor Linden, Canucks legend on there as well. Tigers team would go on to win the championship that year. But what was that battle like? Because from what I see, that was probably one of the most intense battles playoffs-wise you had when you were with the Raiders, eh?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Coley's kind of a little bit of a collision course going against those guys, and they just had an I mean, just a phenomenal lineup. I think they had maybe seven or eight first rounders the following year after Trevor's year with Wayne McBean and Scott McCrady, Mark Peterson, Neil Brady. I think Robbie DiMaio was there. Fitzpatrick was in net. You know, obviously, and Trevor, just a solid lineup, you know, top to bottom. And they were just, they're tough, and they played well in their building. Obviously, another loud, ruckus crowd in Medicine Hat, and with the fan base there, so it made it tough to win in that building. But nonetheless, it made for some good, great playoff hockey that you know, we all remember very well.
So both those questions you mentioned, you know, the old building in Saskatoon, a tough one to play in, Medicine Hat, a tough building to play in here, but we all know the Arthauser Center is still one of the craziest buildings, and that spirit is still alive here to this day. What was it like in that playoff atmosphere here in Prince Albert back when you were here in the 80s?
It was amazing. I don't think, that, like, quite frankly, I don't think there was an easy building to play in on the road. They were all just, you know, just so small and just... and, you know, intimate, intimidating building. I think we loved the fact that ours was small and intimate, and the crowd seemed larger than the actual capacity. So, you know, and everybody's glued on these games. I mean, it's just a small, great, knowledgeable, obviously know the game very well and know what's going on. So, yeah, it was always a fun building to play in. Fans were always great. It was just, it was very favorable in our,
Well, it's crazy to think that you go from playing like in a place like the Arthauser Center, and you go on and you end up playing in like places in these gigantic arenas around North America, you know, Winter Classics and things like that too. Like, it's crazy to think that it all started in a little building like here in the Arthauser Center, eh?
I know, and it kind of went on to something I never imagined in a million years how that whole part of my life would play out and my professional life would unfold, and, you know, different avenues and forks in the road and changes and everything else that happened. And yeah, it just, you know, you become you know, it's very, very appreciative as I gotten older and closer to the end of my career about, you know, the opportunities and just a chance to play that long.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got to talk about the Ring family a little bit here too. Of course, Marty's the one who set this up, and you know, I was reading the article that our website ran during your jersey retirement, and you know, it was a pretty emotional moment for you talking about how big of an impact Carol Ring had on you here. And of course, I know you still keep in contact with Marty. You know, what does it mean to still have that relationship after so many years where you haven't called Prince Albert home anymore? But, you know, what did it mean to be welcomed to this city by them, and what was it like stepping into their home?
Oh, man, I just was, I think that was the most, the luckiest part of the whole thing. I think you could have, I think for Rick too, to know that, you know, it was probably best for me to be with Carol and Ralph at the time. And Stephen, Marty's younger brother, was still living there when in my first year there, and then he moved out. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, those are just, they're big parts of teenage boys' lives, and when you have someone that just as solid as Carol and their family and their morals and their beliefs and everything else, I mean, it just rounded me into the guy I feel like I am today, just because of how she was, and Marty and the rest of the family. It was just you know, a blessing that I got so lucky to be with them.
Absolutely. And I mean, I just interviewed here Carol here last week. She's been singing the anthem for us in the playoffs here. And boy, does this building get fired up when they see her finishing off the anthem here. And we're trying to make it work that we can let her just get hold the microphone up and let the rest of the crowd do the work sort of thing. And I think we're going to make it happen. But, you know, what is it that was so special about them? What is it they did different that made that such a welcoming place? And because everybody who stayed with the Ring family, it just speaks wonders about them. I'm curious what made it special for you.
Well, she didn't, you know, she didn't play any favorites. She held all the kids accountable. We had to do our chores, and, you know, we had to fend for ourselves in the kitchen. And but she was an amazing chef, amazing cook, and made some great food. And snacks and treats and desserts. I mean, it was just a great spot, and I ended up spending my summers there, and they had a great pool in the backyard. We'd be out there barbecuing and hanging out. I mean, I just loved it. But she was just singing the national anthem every game. You know, Ralph was very involved in the executive committee of the Raiders, and so it was a family affair at that house and within the Raiders organization. So, but yeah, I mean, you just sit around, you talk, you don't have all the distractions you do about as far as TV and iPads and cable and this and that. I mean, you sat at the table, you chatted and talked about your day and your life and the games and everything else. And it was nice. It was very pleasant. And very, very neat in that day where you could just sit around and talk about anything, where today you're in and out. No one's sitting around. No one's having anything to talk about. They just, everything needs to be done quick and you get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, and on that note too, it's funny because, this is a question I'm hoping to interview Leon Draisaitl, but you know what, I'll throw it your way as well, because you're lucky enough. You got to play here where, social media wasn't much of a thing. So, any of the after hours escapades guys got up to or anything like that, nobody was talking about it the next day or sort of thing, or sharing stuff around or anything. But, PA is a small community, and Prince Albert, the Raiders are the big ticket item here. You're the biggest show in town for a lot of people. And then you go on to your pro career and you're playing in Dallas and you're playing in Minnesota and last year there in Detroit. And, obviously the world changes quite a bit in that time. But I'm curious if it's at all comparable being that center of attention here in Prince Albert and then going on to your pro career where you're the center of attention and you're dealing with the media and everything like that. Is there anything comparable about being that kind of celebrity here in PA compared to being that celebrity in Dallas or Minnesota or Detroit where you were?
I feel it's a little different. Dallas obviously had become another level after a few, handful of years in Dallas, and we won, and we almost won back to back, and a few good runs in playoffs where it just sparked a whole new fan base in Dallas, and everything kind of took off from there for that sport and that town. But I think with Prince Albert was different, being an American going to Canada, playing in a small town where people seem to adopt you as one of theirs, and I think everybody was always looking out for us on the team, people, businesses, just associates, teachers, friends or whatever in that city. It was just a small, close-knit family. Everybody had each other's back. And I think that's what made that place so special, that, just the relationships you get that, last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And I got to go back to the ring household for one more moment as well, because, of course, I mentioned Leon Draisaitl as well. Everybody knows that when Leon was here, he stayed in the room that you stayed in when you were at the ring household. And Marty showed me a great picture of you next to Leon while Leon's wearing that Detroit Red Wings shirt and everything. I read the article about your jersey retirement, and Draisaitl used to brag about staying in your old room. I'm curious, is there still a connection with you and Leon at all? Do you guys keep in contact with each other, or is that kind of fallen away?
We've chatted a couple times. Just recently when they come into town to Minnesota, I try to make a point to go down and say hi to them, and I did this last time they were here and got to just catch up a little bit with them. But he's just great guy, great kid, just salt of the earth too. I mean, just a quality guy. So I try to make a point when he comes into town to go to that game and just get downstairs and say hi to him. But I know that's a highly sought after room after the couple of us stayed in it.
Absolutely. We got Carol Ring to thank for a couple of NHL legends for it. That's awesome.
For sure.
Moving into your career, there is a bit of a connection to the current Raiders you have. Played against former Raider Steve Kelly in the 2000 Stanley Cup final there against the New Jersey Devils. Steve Kelly, I talked to him earlier today. He said you're the best player that he ever got a chance to play against. He felt pretty happy that he got a cup win over you, even though you were dominating the playoffs that year. I think you and Brett Hall led the playoffs in scoring. But He's got his son, Bennett Kelly, now playing with the team here as well. What can you tell me about that 2000 Cup run? Did you have any run-ins with Steve at all? Mentioning, of course, a couple of former Raiders playing against each other in the Cup. Does that conversation even come up? Or?
It hasn't much, but I do remember Steve, and, Jersey just was a really good team. I mean, they all played very similar. They were a hard-fought, hard-nosed team. They didn't really give up too much space and time on the ice. They were just hard to play against, and, Steve was a big contributor to that. So, it was one of those the finals you like to have back, because we didn't have a good start to it. And we were planning to try and play catch up since after game one and game two, and we just never got back. And that's one that I wish we could have had a do-over on.
Absolutely. That's just how it goes sometimes. But the very least, at least you got your cup run in the end of things here. So it's not like it's unfinished business for you. But, I mentioned Steve Kelly, his son's playing for the team. He's got dual citizenship. We've got Brandon Gorzinski on this team, who's drafted to the Dallas Stars. He's originally from Arizona. We've got two Americans helping coach this team here as well. And I think a lot of American hockey players credit you with being that guy that inspired people to start giving hockey a try in the U.S. and credit you with helping spread that around the country a little bit. So, when you hear that, and you hear that, a lot of people credit you for being the inspiration for trying hockey, what does that say to you?
I think it's just something that you don't kind of put down on your wish list or your goals to set out is to kind of grow the game. I think you just try to play the game to the highest of your ability and bring some entertainment and some enthusiasm to it. Attracts people to it to kind of see the game played at a different pace, and kind of creativity and trying to be a little bit more imagination on the ice. So, I think those late 80s and early 90s was a big turning point for USA Hockey and the World Cup, and then the 02 Olympics, and then lately, obviously, with the success that the teams had over the winter. But it's flattering that people get into the game because of you and mention that same thing. So I'm very taken back by that and glad I had some impact on some individuals that, that might have got into the game because of me. That's nice of them to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy to see just so many people have credited you with the impact that you've had. And now you see guys like Patrick Kane, who, they're inspiring the next generation, and the game's continuing to grow. And it really seems like the U.S. over the last probably decade and a half has really embraced the game of hockey the last while. Eh?
Yeah, and I think that's a lot to do with social media. I think the ability to watch any team or any player at any given moment, or look them up or pull them off the internet and watch YouTube and watch highlights, and all the games are on TV every night, so you can watch your favorite player or teams play. So there's obviously tons of access to the game that wasn't there before. That's kind of opened a lot of eyes to people and see some of their favorites that they can play, rather than having to wait for them to come to town and you get them to see that one time. So you get to see and watch them every night, and even record it or pull it up the next day and watch it. So that whole aspect of that has I think has helped populate the game.
I'm sure it has. Livonia, Michigan, where you're originally from, is that close enough to Detroit that you consider yourself a Detroit local?
I think so. It was about a half hour outside of town, and we moved, I was in Highland, Michigan, which was out in the country for a little bit. But once I got involved with Little Caesars, we had to move a little closer to town because we spent a lot of time at Joe Louis, and there's a handful of rinks and arenas down in the Detroit River area downtown proper. So we spent a lot of time there. So, I was in Livonia for maybe – oh God, not too long. Maybe the 3 years, my first, my last year of middle school and my first 2 years of high school, and then was out of there to PA. So it was a short little glimpse in Livonia, but it was just a geographical thing to be closer to downtown for hockey.
For sure. But you mentioned earlier that you grew up and you were able to watch a little bit of Hockey Night in Canada. You guys would get it on TV and things like that too. So I'm kind of curious, as an American watching Don Cherry and Ron McLean back in the day there, of course, Don Cherry, he was big on his Canadian boys. I'm real curious what it was like seeing him on the TV as an American watching those games and what kind of impact he might have had.
Well, he was kind of opinionated about any type of foreigners, European or Americans, kind of coming in on and playing their game. But I think he might have warmed up to me a little bit. I know he had a couple nice things to say to me once in a while, but I think it was more or less just how you played the game. And I think the Western League, more than anything, can toughen you up, even if you don't want it to, because of the travel, the players, you know, how physical that game is, and you know, the bus rides and everything else. I think it prepares you more mentally than physically than anything. And I think I had a little bit of leniency in his view, because I went to Prince Albert, and so I think he went light on me sometimes.
Oh, that's funny to hear. Of course, he's a legend out here for sure, right? So that's funny to hear, because
Yeah.
I know how he was big against his Europeans for the longest time here, and I wasn't sure if that
Oh,
those
big time.
barbs came your way ever. But that's awesome. I'm a big Detroit Red Wings fan, and that's so I'm real happy I got a chance to cheer for you in that final year of your career here. But and I know
Yeah.
it didn't end the greatest for you here, and we won't get into that. But I'm curious for you, what did it mean for you to get a chance to finish your career in your home state and your home city there with Detroit? Because I know it was kind of between there and Minnesota with where you were thinking of ending your career. How special was it to get to finish things off in Detroit?
It was great. I think at the time I was really excited, you know, just to get the chance to play with some of those guys that were still there on the roster, and you know, we felt we had a decent enough team to make a good run at it. But you know, just being around those guys, experiencing what, you know, playing in Joe Louis for a full season, and the fans, and playing at home and everything else, you know, it's such a it was such a well-run organization with the Ilitches and God, with the coaching staff and the GM, and God, I'm blanking on his name. Kenny Holland was just a great guy, and Jim Neal was a great guy. I mean, I enjoyed my time there. I wish it was a little longer.
Absolutely, and I know you wore number 9 in your career as a tribute to Gordie Howe, and of course, he grew up just over an hour away from here in Prince Albert. He's still a hero to so many people here in Saskatchewan. You know, I never saw him play myself, but the stories from his career, they're always going to be an inspiration for me. And I'm curious, you know, for somebody who grew up in Detroit, when that knowing he means so much to the identity of people here in Saskatchewan, what did he mean to you guys in Detroit when you were able to watch him growing up?
Oh, he's just amazing. Just I think just legend of a guy. I mean, obviously he just helped so much for the game and popularized it in Detroit, and being able to go down to the Olympia and watch some of those games and everything else, and you know, and then there was transformation into Joe Louis. But obviously, you know, Gordy's just you know, having him in Detroit was just great for us. And you know, I wore 9 because of him. And you know, so then, you know, you Craig's progressed into Stevie Yzerman, who was the next kind of coming. And you know, he was a big big idol of mine when I was a teenager, getting ready to head over to PA, my early middle school and high school years. So it was he was great too. So we were pretty lucky to have two good guys.
Well, I still have my Steve Yzerman jersey that I've had since I was 6 years old hanging up in my apartment building. And actually, I think it's right next to another little figure of Yzerman that I have. And I think you're the one right next to him on that. So kind of interesting. I've never interviewed somebody I have one of the little statues of in my own apartment here. It's kind of neat to have this conversation. But nowadays, though, you've your senior advisor role with Minnesota Wild. And I know, of course, know you started your career in Minnesota with the North Stars before they moved to Dallas. So what is it about Minnesota hockey culture that brought you back after your hockey career or your playing career was over?
I just think the lifestyle. We had a bunch of kids, and so we just
did you together?
No.
I'm Hold on. I just loved it here. I loved playing here. I love the people and everything else. And
sorry, we got a distraction here. But just the people, and I just thought raising our kids here would be great. And it kind of fell into my lap with Craig Leopold, and obviously being a part of the general manager duty to try to find Billy Guerin. So that was exciting and part of it. But yeah, we just love the area. The kids love it. The school, the sports, and everything else is just great. And it was really something we enjoyed so much that I figured, kids will love it too. And let them be a part of this too. But I love, Craig's been great to me, the organization, the team. I just, they got a great team. It's going to be exciting to watch this this spring.
Fantastic. I'm sure they will be. Absolutely. Can't wait to see the Wild in the playoffs. Mike, thank you so much for the time here. Is there anything else you want to say to Raider fans while I got you on the phone?
No, just that, I miss them, and just let them know my experience there was just second to none. I just couldn't have done it without them, and they meant a lot to my career and growing up as a teenager, so I was pretty lucky.
And I'm pretty lucky to get on the phone with you here today, Mike. I appreciate you taking so much time to chat with me here. Should probably let you go pick the kids up from school then, eh?
You got it. Thanks so much. Good talking with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.